And now a look at how perhaps even more challenging employment problems for young people in the developing world have still created opportunities for startups to connect job seekers to job creators. In the Philippines, 16% of young people are jobless. The numbers in Nigeria are significantly higher. This year, the Ground Truth Project, based at our partner WGBH, dispatched two reporters to see what clever solutions are making a dent in these nations' daunting unemployment problems. They are Lauren Bon, who traveled to Nigeria, and Colleen Jose, who traveled to the Philippines.
In the Philippines, the economy is growing at such a rapid pace. The GDP is exceeding that of China's. And in recent years, the country has come at a crossroads because there's this huge macroeconomic growth, but at the same time, about 25% of the population still lives below the poverty line. And I think essentially it takes time. Going back to the Marcos dictatorship just 30 years ago, there was a people power revolution that started in 1986. And after that, different presidential elects who tried to stem away from the endemic corruption, but it's still very prevalent. So I think it's still reeling from the legacy of dictatorship, and it is taking time.
It's easy for people to be cynical about corruption in a place like the Philippines, but when you talk to young people, what is barring them? What is it that is slamming the door in their face for getting into the workforce?
It's mostly mismatch in education.
Really?
And what the supply is and the jobs that are available. The topic I looked at is the booming BPO industry, business process outsourcing, which means a lot of call centers are coming in from multinational companies like American Express. And even though the Philippines has a population that can speak English very well, Ruth Georgette from the ILO told me most of them can't really think in English, and it's what hasn't been really addressed in the schools.
Tell me some of the stories, particularly of people who are caught in an inherited cycle of poverty where really father to son to son to son is almost impossible to break out of.
Earlier this year, I met one such young man. His name is Ricky Nieco, mm-hmm. and he lived on the streets of Manila about a quarter of a mile from the U.S. Embassy. And Ricky has been volunteering with a local NGO called Child Hope. Every day he goes to church and helps with feeding street children like himself. And he told me once that everything I learned, I just had to Google it. He goes to internet cafes to learn his lessons that he takes to Child Hope. And from there, he took tests at accredited institutions. And from that, he got his high school diploma.
Now, Nigeria, Lauren, they've got oil. They've got oil wealth. They've got Boko Haram. And they've solved their Ebola crisis. That's pretty much the cheat sheet of what Americans mostly know about what's going on in Nigeria. Beneath those headlines, what's going on, particularly with young people?
Sure. We were actually in Nigeria in April at the height of Bring Back Our Girls, which was just, you know, garnering headlines everywhere. But we traveled the country, and, you know, what we were finding when we were talking to millennials and just everybody asking them about the Boko Haram insurgency was that, okay, yes, this is a major problem. We're glad that Bring Back Our Girls is getting so much attention, but it's only the tip of the iceberg in Nigeria. There are far greater problems when you kind of look underwater and submerge yourself. So just to paint a picture, as you mentioned, there is vast extreme oil wealth, but you're looking at a country that is poorer than it was at independence in 1960. You're looking at 60% of people living below the poverty line. You're looking at a life expectancy that hovers around 50, literacy rate 60%. When it comes to youth unemployment, the numbers are staggering. The central bank puts the number at around 50%. There are some reports that there are 80% of youth unemployed. The situation is at a near crisis point, I would say, not to sound too alarmist. And so many youth that we talk to, again, yes, Boko Haram, the insurgency, it's imperiled their lives to some degree, but the much greater threat is a government that has just institutionalized corruption, has completely neglected its people.
And seems to be completely satisfied that there's a 54% unemployment rate. It's not something that's dealt with a lot of urgency.
Right. And what they're doing is, I mean, they've paid a little lip service now to entrepreneurship as kind of the silver bullet that's going to sort of save Nigeria. And there have been a couple, you know, ribbon cutting ceremonies and Kodak pictures of, you know, smiling ministers.
Let me ask you one thing, though, about Americans' view of entrepreneurship in Nigeria. A lot of Americans view entrepreneurs in Nigeria as the folks who send those bizarre emails offering,
right,
you know, tens of millions of dollars.
Yes. Yeah, and actually it's a really lucrative trade. And the people behind it aren't these sort of thugs living in a corner. They're actually quite brilliant computer programmers and engineers, some of whom couldn't find jobs, so they turned to the 419 scams. But one of the main characters for a story that we did on entrepreneurship in Nigeria is this brilliant 22-year-old named Tayo. He was born into a very poor neighborhood in Lagos called Mushin. His father left when he was younger. His mother worked, you know, several jobs just to put food on the table. He was always, from a really young age, obsessed with computers, how they worked, obsessed with figuring out how to program and code, and would go to, you know, a library, you know, miles away just to use the few PCs that the library had. And he was just somebody who always wanted something more for himself and was very frustrated because he could never find the right mentors. And what he did was he founded a startup that matches talented youth with jobs all over the country. He and a team of only three at this point help edit the CVs, and he does his best to match them with employers. But, I mean, he is, I don't want to say the exception, because there are many people in Nigeria, many youth who are really embodying that phrase that necessity is the mother of invention. But I think what's important to understand about Nigeria is that we really need to start paying attention to some other problems, not least because, again, Nigeria is the largest economy in Africa. Huge engine of growth, yes, but there are, like in many underdeveloped developing countries, these really stagnant parallel universes that exist and never quite intersect. And I think there really needs to be a large spotlight on that.
Colleen Jose, Ground Truth Reporting Project Fellow in the Philippines, and Lauren Bone, Ground Truth Project Reporting Fellow in Nigeria, talking about how millennials both are embodying the problems in these countries and are perhaps the key to the solution. Colleen and Lauren, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.